Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guest we're about to have on, one of our favorites, find him on Twitter, at Pro Basketball Talk, or excuse me, at Basketball Talk. That's the second time I messed that up bringing him on, but he's still one of the best follows, and he's still one of the best guys. Kurt Heelan joins us on the show tonight to talk about the NBA Finals. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Can I ask you a question real quick? Why are there two basketball talks on Twitter?
There used to be another one. There's one that's like the official Pro Basketball Talk. It like says NBC Pro Basketball Talk. It's got a picture of a basketball. And then there's me, Basketball Talk. Unless there's another fake account in my name, that pops up occasionally.
Well, no, because I was looking. I was like, I better make sure, and somebody better tell. But I like but there's the one here that's legitimate, and it's absolutely fantastic. So I wanted to make sure, because I either call you Kurt Heelan, or it's always wrong. It's always wrong. But Basketball Talk on Twitter, that's the guy. How you doing tonight, Kurt?
Yeah, it's the one with the NBC logo. Although, like I said, yeah, occasionally I get fakes, which is, I guess, flattering. But, you know.
I know that you work for NBC Sports, so maybe you can't answer this. Or maybe you can. You probably want to. Am I wrong, or how right am I that I desperately want the NBA to come back on NBC just for John Chester's Round Ball Rock?
You and me both. It's like, it's funny. I wanted to use that at the start of my podcast. I think Bill Simmons actually got, didn't he pay for it? But I was like, oh, I want to use that at the start of my podcast. And the NBC lawyers were like, no, actually, John Tesh owns the rights to that. You have to pay him. And they weren't going to do it. So, you know, I used to have generic music. I don't think I've got much of anything there now. But it's like, it's kind of funny. I would love to. Look, I think my life would be a lot more interesting if NBC had the rights again. So
I'm all for
that.
Well, and part of it is also if we get the voice guy back, I think he's still alive. The guy who did the voices tonight at Easter, he was so good. And yeah. Part of it's the nostalgia of it. You see, I went on some great big tangent, Kurt, about gatekeepers in the NBA because somebody had called in and they had already, it brought up a fact, and I liked that they were on, you know, they were looking at this side going, oh, wait, these are incredible teams. These are incredible talents. At least you have the very best of the very best playing against each other, even though it's a 3-1 series right now. But if you look at the overall health of the NBA, are we going towards a bad place with the association, or is this something that, well, maybe we'll even out over time where maybe more players decide to go and you might have four, maybe five of these quote-unquote super teams together? The rest might be desolate, but maybe you'll have more of these types of teams.
I will tell you that there is a concern among GMs and teams that and the league, honestly, that we could be moving. Like, look, LeBron kind of opened a door in a way, and then, you know, KD stepped through that door and formed a super team. You know, LeBron formed one in Miami and then kind of, I guess, reformed one by going back to Cleveland. And there is a concern that you're going to get stars really trying to do that now. I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to do about that, though, simply because, I mean, remember what Miami had to do to get that team? Like, they had to get not only grit those three guys to take a little bit less than max each, they gutted that roster. I mean, it was Haslam, and then over a couple of years, they were able to add, you know, Ray Allen came and some pieces came cheap, but it's hard to put that kind of team together in a purely free agent sense. You know, it's different, I think, with Golden State in the sense that they drafted Curry, they drafted Green, they drafted Thompson, they developed these guys. Then, you know, because of the spike in the salary cap, frankly, a little bit of that and a little bit, honestly, of them. It's what Adam Silver is always talking about. Hey, I want to make the playing field level so the teams that are smart with their cap can go get guys. Well, they were crazy smart with their cap, and they got a little help from the TV deal, and boom, you know, they've got this super team that's going to be together for at least, they've got at least two more seasons before they got to make a decision on Clay. And I don't know if it's really good for the league that we're going to go into next season saying it's probably Cleveland and Golden State again. I think it's an issue, but I'm not sure it's a long-term issue, if that makes sense.
Well, just analyzing it, Kurt Heelan joining us, basketball talk, pro basketball talk on Twitter, NBC Sports. The thing, just as an analyst, I didn't like about Kevin Durant going there is I couldn't defend the Warriors anymore because people would call the Warriors a super team. I go, wait a minute, they're what every fan wants. They drafted those guys. So I can't blame the Warriors because the Knicks are dummies. The Knicks should be the team that are forming a super team, not Golden State.
Well, they did. They had Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. That didn't work.
Wow, great.
it really does come down to somewhat management and drafting. I mean, I think two things have to happen. You have to be really smart at drafting. The Warriors obviously were, but even if you go back to the Spurs, I mean, they traded for Kawhi Leonard when most of the league was convinced he would be a nice 3-and-D guy, and they saw something more. And they gave up, by the way, George Hill. They gave up some nice pieces to get him at the time, but they saw what the potential was. And B, they developed him. And that's what you see in Golden State. That's what you see in, you know, where Utah is coming up. I mean, they drafted Rudy Gobert. They drafted these guys and developed them. You've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to make it work in the NBA. You can't just buy a team anymore unless you can do what Miami did and kind of gut the thing. But even then, they had Wade in house already. So
Go ahead, Kurt.
Really, if you're gonna stick around, if you're going to be any kind of lasting power, you've got to be able to develop talent. And that's the question for not only like how do the Knicks start to do it, but you look at teams like the Lakers that are trying to rebuild. Like, are they capable of developing talent? Like, can they make the organizational shift to do that? I mean, we'll find out.
Kurt Heelan joining us on the show, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports. All right, 3-1 series. The jokes have already been thrown out there again. Is this obviously different than what it was last year?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny. I was at Warriors practice today, and there might have been a little apprehension after they lost that first game, although they were a little stunned. But I think it was more today. There's a confidence about them, like, hey, we're home. And there was a lot of, like, what if? What if you lose them, you know? Because if they lose this one, then it's on. Like, then it gets really interesting. But we were all kind of like, they were all very much like, no, we're living in the moment. We're good. We think we didn't play our best ball last game. We can do so much better, and we'll be more comfortable at home. We'll make it tougher on them. So if this goes beyond five, then, because, look, if there's a six, there's a seven. Like, if we're going back to Cleveland, then we're definitely coming back here. So we'll see how it shakes out, but I think this is it. I think that you're going to get a much better Curry. You know, he's not going to go 4-for-13. And I'm just not sold that Cleveland really going to knock down threes like that again?
I'm not sure. They've done it for other series before, but I don't know if they're going to do that because I don't know if they're going to find the spacing that they have against other teams. Did you think they slowed down the pace a little bit more in Game 4 and it helped them win?
A little bit, but they also did a really nice job of moving the ball. Like, they actually did a good... They moved the ball, and then they knocked down the shots was the other half of that. I mean, they whipped it around to J.R. Smith, and he hit it. And J.R. Smith is such a streak shooter. He got space on his first couple, and they fell. And after that, it doesn't matter. And Kyrie got going. And again, Kyrie had 40 points, but he had key stops throughout this thing. He had stops in the sense of, uh-oh, Golden State's cut it to 11. Oh, hey, Kyrie hit a ridiculous three. Or Kyrie got a traditional three-point play attacking. He did something to kind of stem that tide. He's got to be that good again, and then they've got to get – they have to play that kind of almost perfect game again to have a chance because I think they're going to get a better version of the Warriors in this one.
Kurt Heelan joining us on the show. Could this be the last hurrah for Steve Kerr? Could he actually step down after this season?
It's possible. I don't get the impression he wants to. I think it comes down to the question that you and I and nobody but Steve Kerr can answer, which is, like, how much did that last surgery help? If the problem really was, and I'm no doctor, but I've got to think, like, slowly leaking spinal fluid sucks. And if it solved that problem, if it's now a situation where he is able to, not be in great pain all the time, then he'll do it, I think, for a while, because he really likes these guys and he really likes coaching this team, and kind of hard to blame him there. I don't know that he's going to go like Popovich-level career where he'll just stick with it for 20 years, but I think that he'll do it for a few more. But if it's really bad, they'll turn it over and be curious where they'd go with that, because I don't know if Mike Brown's the long-term guy there.
Well, I got to ask you, Kurt, real quick. It's got to be so incredibly hard, and this is why, you know, we begged Peyton Manning to retire when they won the championship, and he still thought about it. He's like, you know, maybe I want to come back for another one there. And I think people will eventually do it with Tom Brady because they'll get over, and then you'll think, well, what's the law of diminishing returns? Because we want that storybook ending to our players, and we want the same thing with our coaches. And for them, you're in sitting on something that's successful now and is going to be successful for the foreseeable future. I can't imagine how difficult that is to walk away from that, because some of this, you could say, yeah, Steve Kerr's been the ultimate team guy, Kurt, and he's been a guy who's been so smart, and he's rounded off rosters, and all that's true. Some of this has to be selfish, and I wouldn't blame him going, you know, if I'm the coach of this type of basketball team, holy goodness.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's hard. You know what I think he'll want to do, honestly, is in 4 years, 5 years, whenever he decides he's done, is he'll want to transition back to the front office. Remember, he was a GM. In Phoenix, honestly, not a terribly great one. The guy's like, hey, we've been running and having successful. Let's bring in Shaq. But I think that he probably learned some lessons from that about where the league is and where the league's going. He's an incredibly smart guy, and I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, honestly, if I were a younger team, I'd seriously consider, or a younger team, or another team trying to build, I'd seriously consider bringing him in. So I think that that's probably the next step.
If I was Dan Gilbert, I'd let go of David Griffin, and I would bring in Steve Kerr if he retired.
Well, I'll tell you, David Griffin...
That's a joke. I swear to God, that's a joke.
Up. Like, they do not have a new contract for him, and I'm like, it's kind of a strange situation, isn't it? Because I'm like, on one hand, all right, you're not happy with him, but what didn't he do? He got you Kyle Korver for pennies. Like, he's done everything to keep this team contending. I don't know what more you could ask of him.
Is it weird, though, because you remember last year, Ty Lue and his entire coaching staff, they did not have a contract like 2 weeks before the season started. Before like media day and stuff, and it just seems to be, well, Dan Gilbert, he gets done what he needs to get done, but he will drag his feet on just about anything else.
Yeah, he would come off if he weren't being forced basically to spend like this by LeBron, and it works for him because obviously the franchise value is up and all that. But would he strike you as one of those kind of cheap owners, those cheap post-pro sport owners that are kind of always looking to cut some costs here and cut some costs there and you know, there's a bunch of them in every sport. Everybody knows who we're talking about. I'm a Newcastle United fan, and it kills me. But if you're a fan of one of those teams, it's hard to watch the owner kind of cut corners rather than be willing to compete and willing to do the things to compete. So
I think he'll pay the player, but I think everything else, I think he is beholden knowing that, all right, it's LeBron, this is LeBron, that's what we do, or whoever player it would be. But I think with coaches and with other administrators in his office and things like that, it's, these guys can come and go. I think he might cheap it up on them, but I don't know about the roster.
Yeah, and I think that works for him as long as they have LeBron, but that's not how you build a culture.
No, that's not how you do it. Kurt Heelan joining us on the show. Do you think Sebastian Telfair was going to be good?
I think everybody thought Sebastian would be better. I don't know if I thought he was going to be like great, but I think we thought he'd be better than he was. He was a bit of a legend coming out of New York. It's kind of, this is all very disappointing.
Is this part of where nature and nurture meet? Because I brought up, I didn't like some of the comments lobbed at LeBron during the year that Jason Whitlock had made. And it was part like, well, yeah, I know he's 6'8", but there were still a lot of weird individuals coming in and out of his life when he was at a very young age that could have sent him down a bad path.
Oh, God. You know, when you actually follow LeBron's story through his youth and how even his mom and some of the, you know, who I don't want to knock, but like, it could have gone really sideways. There's a lot of kids who would not have come out of this in his situation. And ultimately, like, dude, he married his high school sweetheart. He's never, you know, I don't want to say he's been some sort of angel, but like, never been arrested. You don't catch him with drugs. Like, it could have been a lot worse.
I think so. Kurt, who wins the series? You're still taking Golden State, even though it's 3-1?
I said Golden State in 5 before the series, so I want to feel smart.
Ooh.
So I'm picking Golden State.
Man. All right, Kurt, I thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best. And, of course, we'll run you down during free agency, I'm sure.
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.